The EU is investigating Google over allegations that it abused its leading role in brokering online ads.
It's becoming a bigger source of interest for antitrust regulators because other players in that business, the so-called ad tech business, say that Google's conduct has boxed them out in some cases or has lessened competition.
What the probe means for tech antitrust investigations in the U.S. and abroad. Plus, new data shows the U.S. housing market is still hot. But the lenders dominating the mortgage market aren't who you think. It's Tuesday, June 22nd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The U.S. housing market is still running hot. Last month, the median existing home price hit a record high, topping $350,000, according to the National Association of Realtors. That's an increase of 24% over the previous year. A shortage in properties and low interest rates have driven double-digit increases in recent months. Our housing reporter, Nicole Friedman, says those high prices are starting to impact the market.
So already affordability is starting to keep more buyers on the sidelines and sales are declining. They've fallen for four straight months. And so part of that is that there's a real shortage of homes for sale. There just aren't enough houses to buy, but also that more buyers are unable to get into homes, that they are putting in offers and not getting those offers accepted and prices keep rising. And that is pricing more people out of the market. And so at some point that would slow down the pace of home price growth. But so far, that hasn't happened yet. And so economists say they expect the pace of growth to slow down in the second half of the year. But so far, we're not seeing it.
Wall Street is getting in on the housing action, too. Investment firm Blackstone has reached a $6 billion deal to acquire Home Partners of America, a company that buys and rents single-family homes. Last year, Blackstone bought a $240 million preferred equity stake in a Toronto company that buys rentals in North America. The latest deal is a sign Blackstone is turning even more bullish on U.S. housing. Bitcoin stabilized this afternoon after dipping below $30,000 earlier today for the first time since the beginning of the year. Shares of GameStop were up over 9.5% after the company took advantage of its meme stock status by raising over $1 billion in new shares. In the broader market, the Nasdaq hit an all-time closing high today. The Dow and the S&P 500 saw modest gains. Our markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar explains.
People are just kind of adjusting to this idea that the economy could be doing better than expected and adjusting their portfolios as a result. And it's all relative. So some of the things that have been happening might end up being incrementally small changes, but people have gotten used to the idea of near zero interest rates and easy money for so long that even the slightest movement on that front can cause changes. More broadly, though, a lot of investors say stocks and other risky assets still look pretty attractive, and that government bond yields and things like that are still pretty low. So that's why we've seen stocks rally the past couple of days, but people will be debating this topic for a while some more moving forward.
In other markets news, shares of Microsoft rose today, briefly putting the company's valuation above $2 trillion in intraday trading, but it ultimately closed just 4 cents shy of the mark. It would have been the second company to close with that valuation after Apple. A Democrat-backed test vote in the Senate on broad revisions to election law is expected to fall short of the 60 votes needed to open debate. The legislation would change how campaigns are financed, how districts are drawn, and how elections are conducted. The push in Congress comes as many GOP-led states are pursuing tighter election laws. Republicans have called Democratic efforts a power grab that would undercut election security. And sources say that the Federal Trade Commission will review Amazon's proposed acquisition of Hollywood studio MGM. The FTC and the Justice Department share antitrust authority and split up reviews of proposed deals. According to people familiar with the matter, the FTC pushed for jurisdiction because it has already opened a wide-ranging antitrust investigation into Amazon's business practices. The FTC's new chair, Lina Khan, has criticized Amazon and argued that U.S. antitrust law has failed to restrain the company. Amazon isn't the only big tech company under scrutiny. Coming up, why EU regulators are looking into Google's role brokering digital ads.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years. A lot has changed, but one thing that remains constant, including the different types of durable income and portfolios, can help investors meet their goals. With expertise across income and alternatives, Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Big tech companies have been facing scrutiny here in the U.S., but Europe has also been cracking down. Today, the EU opened a formal antitrust investigation into Google around allegations of anti-competitive behavior in the advertising technology sector. Specifically, they're looking into the company's role in brokering ads and sharing user data with advertisers across websites and mobile apps. It's a core piece of Google's business and an area of growing concern for antitrust regulators. Joining me now from Paris with more on the investigation is Wall Street Journal tech reporter Sam Schechner. Hi, Sam. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Sam, this has been brewing for some time now. Can you explain today's formal step and what exactly the European Commission will be looking into here?
The EU has actually been investigating Google around its ad business and its use of data for the better part of 2 years. It actually comes on the heels of three other cases that the Commission brought against and actually finally charged and fined Google for allegedly anti-competitive conduct. Google's still appealing those cases and the $9 billion of fines. But what this does is it makes an official case and lays out the certain areas of interest that the EU is going to be investigating going forward when it comes to Google.
So talk about some of the specific aspects of Google's business that they're going to be looking into here.
Well, this case really focuses on Google's role in the internet display advertising business. It's not, you know, when you search Google for a recipe for tonight, but when you go to websites across the internet, when you go to apps across the internet, Google is one of the main intermediaries that's going to broker those ads. They run some of the biggest tools for doing that. The ad exchange, where bids to show you an ad are bought and sold. The platforms that serve the ad to the web page. The platforms that advertisers use to buy those ads. And it's becoming a bigger source of interest for antitrust regulators because other players in that business, the so-called ad tech business, say that Google's conduct has boxed them out in some cases, or has lessened competition, or that Google is hoarding data about its users and leaving them at a disadvantage, and as well as website publishers, you know, who might want to sell ads and say that they're forced to use Google or get a bad deal.
And to what extent are privacy concerns coming into play here?
Well, it's actually a pretty interesting dilemma that regulators worldwide face, as there's, you may have noticed, a growing regulatory backlash against tech companies because one of the main ways to make money on the internet is advertising, and one of the main accelerants of advertising is data about individuals. You end up with, on one hand, privacy kind of pushing towards fewer companies keeping a tighter hold on that data rather than spreading it all over the place, versus competition maybe arguing for a freer flow of data about individuals. And so some of Google's moves in this area have been coming for scrutiny like that. Under pressure from privacy advocates and regulators, Google actually has announced plans, actually privacy advocates would say they're belated plans, to remove a tracking technology called third-party cookies from Chrome. That's one of the things that the EU is investigating, and they're not the only regulator to be looking into that, because there are concerns that it will actually just benefit Google's advertising business at the expense of other online advertising companies.
How does this compare to antitrust investigations into Google that are currently taking place in the U.S.? There are some similar through lines here, right?
Yes, indeed. The most direct parallel would come from a lawsuit that was filed against Google by a group of states led by the state of Texas, which is also looking at Google's ad tech business and, you know, alleged self-dealing by Google. You know, there's some elements of that case that have parallels. That's not the only area of interest in the U.S. The DOJ also has a case against Google. That's more of a search-focused case, and actually it harkens back to earlier cases from the EU on similar issues, such as Google's control of the Android ecosystem and whether it used that to help cement the position of its cash cow search engine on Android phones.
So how is Google responding to all of this? Have you heard from them since this case was formally opened today?
Google has been in touch with the European Commission about this case since they've been investigating it informally for, you know, the better part of 2 years. When we reached out to them today, a spokeswoman said that, first of all, European businesses choose to use Google's advertising tools because they're competitive and effective. And she also added that the company is going to continue to, what they said, engage constructively with the European Commission in the case. At the same time, this is part of a rising tide of cases that you see both in Europe and elsewhere, not only against Google, but other tech companies. And so at that level, we're probably going to see more developments in coming months as other cases are opened on different grounds against different companies and potentially against Google in different parts of Europe and the world.
Wall Street Journal tech reporter Sam Schechner. Sam, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, we talked about the hot housing market earlier in the show. Americans took out more mortgages last year than ever before, but most of them didn't come from banks. Non-bank lenders like Rocket's Quicken Loans or PennyMac Financial are dominating the market. Unlike traditional banks, non-bank lenders don't accept deposits or offer banking services like credit cards and personal loans. But according to industry research firm Inside Mortgage Finance, these lenders issued more than two-thirds of mortgages in 2020. Our banking reporter, Orla McCaffrey, says non-banks are filling a gap with borrowers.
The conditions that the pandemic led to, low interest rates, a bunch of people wanting mortgages, whether that was to buy homes or to refinance their existing mortgages, those conditions really benefited non-banks, and those conditions really kind of accelerated this trend that we were already seeing with non-banks taking over a larger share of the mortgage market. And most Americans today getting their mortgages from non-banks rather than banks like they used to.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.